Well,
rolling.
I got to say, pretty good start to the 2023 EBT BBY season. Our first try podcast launch, no technical issues. We're right into it here. Pretty surprising considering we're you know, two old men now. And here we are. We've drafted. The season's upon us this week. I'm sure we'll have some people forgetting that that's the case since we drafted so long ago, and they'll forget to set their lineups, and that'll be fun. But regardless, here we are at the beginning of a new season. How are you doing, Ira?
I'm feeling good. Yeah, the dawn of the NBA season's upon us, 2 days away. A little awkward, the long lag, I think, between the opening night and the draft, but probably worked well for my schedule. So I'm thankful that I got a little time to recharge a little bit, not get too locked in, and now I'm ready to play the game.
Do you did you spend a lot of this paternity time watching preseason basketball, you know, scrounging box scores for the preseason, or do you kind of what is your philosophy as a real box score guy on the preseason? Do you take it into account at all? Do you like to see at least like who the starting fives are, who's rotating? Do you watch the look at the last game? What's kind of your philosophy?
I mean, I guess philosophy is more. I'm more interested in what the staff and the coaches have to say than anything that I'm going to see in the box score necessarily. Just because, I mean, playing time is, yeah, it's going to change from game to game. It's a lot of experimentation, a bit like what we saw in that Rutgers St. John's exhibition the other day. You know, teams are just going to give the guys minutes, going to try different looks. Final score doesn't really matter. So the regular season, when you're trying to win some games, I think it's going to be a little different dynamics at play. So definitely watching the rotations, you know, seeing who could put up more so like hustle stats, I think is really what you can kind of see in these limited minute games. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to jump too deep into, you know, Jordan Poole is a 40-point game, a 7-point game. My evaluation hasn't changed much based off that.
Yeah, I think for me personally, I'm looking to see is anyone getting injured? Are there guys from like Europe who came over that, you know, we should be tracking that didn't get a lot of buzz? Like I feel like last year, Santi Aldama from the Grizzlies is like a, kind of a guy to get on the radar. And by like midseason, he was kind of ready to go fantasy wise. The guy I have my eye on this year is from the Kings. I don't even know his name. I can't pronounce it, but he's apparently everyone keeps calling him like the best shooter in the league. But it doesn't look like he's getting great rotation minutes in the preseason. So, you know, pumping the brakes there. You got to watch out with all these comments in the preseason. Everyone's trying to pump each other up and build team unity. So, yeah, I kind of am like you. Like, keep it high level. You know, watch for injuries. I got a big injury watch today. I'm sure we'll break down all the teams tonight. But I did pick up Xavier Tillman off the waiver wire as it's been announced that Steven Adams is out for the whole season now with a similar injury to last year. So,
yeah, Twitter was a buzz, I think. Yeah, I think Elon might have been just mass hitting everybody with that big news about Steven Adams going down. But it's my 13th round pick out the window.
And this is the first faltering of fatherhood for you. You didn't react fast enough to pick up his backup on the waiver wire, a guy who put up pretty solid numbers in his absence last year. Has those stock values.
He's cute.
Gets
He's
points cute. And rebounds, you know. So I will offer Tim to a nice premium in a few weeks and we'll see how it goes. So you know,
Paul, I just feel like you and I and that's probably not where our trade relations are going to blossom. But I'm looking forward to the day that we can have a nice bargain.
I'm looking forward to the day that you embrace that. Like you and I basically approach other people in trades the same way, and that's why we can't trade with each other. Like you and I are usually the more informed people, or have an idea of what we want. And because of that, like you and I are not just going to naturally link up on a trade. Like, you know, last year you made me not an unfair offer, but like, what's my number one philosophy in fantasy, Ira? Do you know it? Do you remember through all the years of hearing me talk?
No, you'll have to remind me what your number one philosophy is.
You can't teach health. So like last year when you came to me with like AD and KP and like all these other like guys who are usually 7-footers with you know, bad knees and all that. I rejected your trade for Jokic, who is again the number one fantasy player in the league. So, you know, you were pretty down on me for not taking that, but I think
hey, that was cat a few years ago.
But you know, we both have philosophies in the trade market. They may not align, but we stick to the guns there. So
it's a fair point. We're both willing to walk away, which I think a lot of managers don't always really want to walk away. And if you can't walk away, you can't really you can't bring your full self to the negotiation. So it's definitely, I think, a big part of the trade negotiation for if you want to come out good at the end of the day. Yeah. But anyway, we can talk about Xavier Tillman and Steve Adams later on, I'm sure, in the team
review. Well, actually, I will note on the rundown, and Ira did a great job sending a rundown despite having a kid now. So, you know, props to him there. It is a little bit shorter, I will say that. He does have. I don't know if it's for my eyes only or he's sending these out later to everyone else, but his evaluations of every team. So that's pretty cool as well. The very first thing after the welcome is you want to know which players on my team I hate the most. So I guess this has been keeping you up at night. You did give me the worst rating, though tied with Trevier with a D+. Are you going to send this out later? Like, should I not spoil the grades? Should I keep that to myself?
I mean, I think we can tease it now, you know, and we can say, you know, a full release will come in, you know, a few days, that kind of thing, you know. It's a good way to get the audience still while, you know, wetting that palate, as they say.
Fair enough. So I guess Trevier is kind of the normal board D+, which is pretty embarrassing. Mine is more of a, I didn't have any picks. It's a D+. You know, it is what it is. Which players I hate
the most?
The
worst ones, by the way. You mean Corey actually came out with a D, so.
Oh, I must have missed that one. All right. That's not so bad. And he had a pretty normal board as well?
Yes, standard slate of picks.
All right. So I outkicked two normal people. That's not too bad. As far as who I hate the most, let me kind of, if you don't mind, if you'd allow me to kind of dive into my mindset during the draft with this board. I haven't had a board this kind of scattered in quite some time, I'd say. Probably 5 years ago was the last time it was like that, where I really kind of gave up a bunch of early rounders to kind of make a move. I don't hate the individual guys on my team that badly. Looking at it now, I hate it on draft night, because as I'm seeing like what other people are getting, I see the names here and like a lot of them kind of spark joy, which is kind of good. Like my philosophy on draft night, it's probably pretty clear. There were kind of two main things I was looking for. There's really young upside guys that could like kind of blossom into interesting players, potential late round keepers, obviously. But then also some steady vets that like come playoff time. I think they could be, you know, if my team is not back in the swing of things, it could help someone, you know, to get them for the playoffs, to bring a certain stat or a certain, you know, just upgrade over the bottom of their roster. And one guy I grabbed in the 15th round, Kyle Lowry. Like, I don't hate Kyle Lowry. I think Kyle Lowry is like a fine fantasy player. Sure, he's had some aging, you know. I also think it's interesting that you have not heard his name one time this summer mentioned, even though there was constant talk of the Heat trading for Dame Lillard because they don't have a point guard. I think that's very interesting. I think that's very, like, I feel like in Heat culture, they must be like every day over the summer to him be like, dude, like they're coming for you. They're coming for you. No one believes in you. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he has a little bit of a resurgence. You know, I think at the end of two seasons ago, he had that family issue where he was kind of missing games. Last year was kind of working himself back from whatever that was. And maybe this year he kind of like takes a mini leap back towards, you know, relevance. Maybe his body's a little broken down, but like if he could put up some decent numbers, like that's a guy that's going to outkick a 15th value, no problem, especially if he's getting starters minutes. Who I hate the most? I think there's only one clear answer here. Do you know who it is?
Who you hate the most? Just running through it. I don't know. Who do you hate the most?
It's Harrison Barnes. Like, just from a fan, like, I actually really like him in real life, but like, okay, from a fantasy perspective, he's like basically a nothing burger. You know, he like gives you a little bit of everything. You know. And like the round you have to draft him in to get him is just like, so like, ugh, I'm drafting Harrison Barnes here. Like, he doesn't give me anything. For my team, I kind of actually need some calories probably because I was drafting so late. So like not having like an empty calories guy like that where I was picking is probably not so terrible. But like he's kind of the guy I'm like, all right, if like I get a chance to move him, like let's do it. You know, I'll be more than happy. But look, there's some guys here that are, kind of, I have a bunch of second, third year guys here who are like prime for breakouts. I think Franz Wagner, like all signs are pointing towards like superstar break this year. Markelle Fultz finally got a season under him. Mathurin, he was really, really good. We'll see how he does with the more crowded backcourt. I think they're going to have to still play him. Maybe he'll be a little more efficient with the guys around him. You know, Obi Toppin also on that team. Like, to me, his numbers should be pretty good for a 15th round flyer or 14th round flyer, wherever I got him. Like, why not? You know, it looks like he's going to be the starter there to start the season. So, and he's playing for a contract. So maybe now it all clicks for him. Şengün, I know you thought I was a little early on him. I know I was a little early on him, but you know, we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. Jaden Ivey, another young guy, like Quentin Grimes, another young guy.
You're sounding pretty happy with the squad now.
I'm talking myself into it, Ira. Like I'm finding a way. It's going to be one of those things where like the other bad thing that could happen to a fantasy team besides injuries is like everyone not clicking at the same time. And because of that, you like never get past a 4 or 5 loss. I've had years where like I drafted well and like that, even that still kind of impacted it. So I'm just hoping with all these young guys, you know, where consistency is going to be the issue. Hopefully they could string a few games along in the same week and, you know, pull out some wins and their bad weeks aren't too bad. So we'll see. You know, I've hope for this team, you know, and you know my philosophy now. I will try to trade back into playoff contention if I can make it, if it works. So we'll see what happens. Maybe someone's big keeper will go out early and they'll decide to give up on the season out of dramatic fashion, Levy, you know, something like that. So yeah, look, day one of the season, I'm always going to be optimistic. That's how I feel.
I guess the nice the long window between draft and the season gave you some time to come around on a few of these players. We really need to see some big years from those mid round guys like Jakob Poeltl and looking at Mathurin or Fultz.
They're talking about Poeltl being the fulcrum of the Toronto offense this year. You know, yeah. Maybe he could average like 13. 12 and like 7, like, and then I have the 3 best passing big men in the league.
I'm liking your optimism. I mean, you know, you reached all the way in the 6th round to get the guy, so I hope he's ready to deliver all-star caliber statistics. But I don't know, I have a feeling Scotty Barnes and Siakam might still put a ceiling on the guy.
Scotty Barnes isn't like setting up an ISO. Like he'll be better off like giving going with Poeltl.
That's the whole team philosophy. All they do is set up an ISO on that team.
No, they have a new coach. He has a new philosophy. Like, yeah, Siakam. Yes, Siakam is good enough to operate like that way. Like Scotty Barnes can't shoot. They're gonna play off of him. He can't just isolate. Like, you know, it's not like he's gonna eat all Fred VanVleet's usage. It's just not gonna happen that way. I don't see it.
Yeah, well, we need some boom here, Paul, because, I mean, yeah, we've got 2 20-point scorers, and, you know, after that, things drop off real quick. So,
as I said, I need those Harrison Barnes empty calories. You know, maybe he'll get himself up to, like, 18 points a game this year.
Yeah, he's playing well. Maybe he could trade into Corey or Eric. You know,
that's what I'm saying. He's a perfect Corey player. Corey loves the Harrison Barnes. He loves it.
That's true, man. Yeah, that's the D material.
That,
I agree with
that. That was actually, the joke on myself. I'm like, oh, man, like, I've been making fun of Corey – and Barnes, like now I'm gonna have him, and like, ugh, and that's why I don't like having him. That's really it.
Yeah, it was like a current Corey, like Justin 3 years ago would have loved the Harrison Barnes. You know, it's
maybe I could swap. Oh, Kemba's overseas now. As I said, I could swap Lowry for Kemba, and then package Kemba and Barnes would have been a great move for this team to Corey for something of value. But
all right, yeah, you're teasing me too much with the Corey team. I mean, just Corey went a lot of staples this draft. We can dip through the draft board. I mean, it's just most managers I was like, okay, these picks make enough sense, but Corey's team, like Ingram in the 4th, Buddy Hield in the 5th, Okongwu, like, where's the value in the 6th round for this guy? And then Keegan Murray in the 7th. It was done at that point. Just all those guys were probably 2 rounds too soon for my liking. And, you know, when you do that with your early picks, the rest of the draft doesn't matter.
And I think
that it was much better.
And I think this comes back to like Yahoo. I don't know what the hell they're doing at the rankings, but like, they seem so out of whack during the draft. I don't know where there seems to always be good players buried. And then there's like these shitty ones, like you mentioned, like by the draft line, you know, Keegan Murray, like, that seems like a guy that's probably going to have a sophomore regression. Like, people are going to guard him from 3 now. Brandon Ingram, like, he's like a Kevin Martin to me. Like, I get it. He's, like, a, in theory, good basketball player. But, like, I wouldn't want him near my team in real life or in fantasy. Like, he's a vacuum. Like, his Team USA performance this summer is just, like, exactly what I've always thought he is. Like, he just wants to get his, doesn't really care about winning. It's the whole Melo thing, right? Like, it's like, yeah, I want to win, but I want to win the way that it's fun for me to win. And like, guys like that just don't do it for me personally. So, yeah, like, he'll see where he winds up, which team he's on this year. and what that role winds up being.
It's a huge issue. I mean, it's highly unlikely it's better than what he had last year with the Pacers.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, so whereas my team, I'm like, all right, a lot of these guys have a chance to go up. Like, a lot of these guys on his team seem to have a chance to go down and not recreate what they did. Like, Jared Vanderbilt, probably not going to be as productive on the Lakers, I would imagine. You know,
yeah.
Isaiah Jackson.
That was a guy that Corey had last year. You know, I think he was just, he's a lot of just, you know, bring him back for another 12th place run, you know, just, not sure what the thinking was.
Yeah, totally. Like, maybe, you know, Grady Dick might be his best draft pick in the 15th round. Like, that guy can play. You know, I think he's actually gonna get some run this year for that team. So maybe he'll be interesting. You know, people are high and quickly. Like, I still just don't think for fantasy, like, you could trust a Tom Thibodeau backup guard. Like, it's just not great. Okongwu, you mentioned, like, I had him on my team last year. To his defense, he's going to put up consistent numbers, but, like, the idea that he's replacing Clint Capella is just not going to come to fruition until Capella's out for a long amount of time. And Capella doesn't really – he goes out for, like, a week, and it's great, and then that's it. Like, he's consistent enough, and, like, you just can't take the job from him, unfortunately. It's been a few years now. It's almost like the Maxi Kleber, Dwight Powell in Dallas, but with more talent. Like, Powell always kind of winds up on top. Kleber's pretty good when he plays, but, like, the coach just, like, Capella's a good player. Like, and you know, even if he doesn't do exactly what you wanted him to do, he's a good defender. He's going to do the rim rolling, and he's not going to complain and ask for the ball. So it's hard to bench a guy like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And, yeah, and then, I like Quickly's prospects, but just on the Knicks, like, some teams like the Knicks, you know, like, they're just too deep. Like, those kinds of, that's kind of the way I thought about when you picked Grimes. Just, like, I'm, like, the stat set could be there if he got, like, major minutes, but
are the Knicks the new Spurs as far as, like, the number one fantasy team to stay away from fantasy perspective, where, like, there's just too many guys and you don't know what the rotation is going to be on a given night. So, like, you know, unless you have you're always be afraid to have Patty Mills during, like, prime Spurs, because, like, you know he's going to play, but, like, you don't know what he's going to produce. Even the top guys never were really as good as other top guys on other good teams. Like, is there another team better than that than the Knicks?
Like a guy like we saw, like, Kevin Herter get drafted, or even, like, Harrison Barnes. Like, those kind of, like, the Kings to me are very, like, stacked roster where there's not much room for maneuverability and, like, envisioning a guy's role really expanding greatly. Like Keegan Murray, he had okay stats for a rookie season, but, like, he got 30 minutes a game. Like, and he didn't put up much in hustle stats, you know, 0.8 steals, 0.5 blocks. So, like, there's nothing established here to make me think, you know, he's going to have a huge boost in counting stats or hustle stats. He's just going to be what he is.
Yep. You always got to have that. You either got to have the talent, the real talent boost, which is really hard to predict, or the minutes boost, which, like, if you're not getting that and it's potentially a minutes loss, it's always and role reduction. It's pretty tough. So,
Kings. Yeah, the Clippers used to be like this, but, like, I know, like, the Knicks, everyone's healthy relatively. So, but the Clippers, it's like, you know, you have Kawhi and Paul George who are constantly in and out. I mean, so it's, you know, it opens up a lot of opportunities for other guys, but, like, I mean, that's, you got to manage the moment, which, I mean, that's part of the bigger fantasy, the game we play. If you want to do well, it's really about managing throughout the season, not just on draft day.
I think we should go across the baseball diamond to probably our number one listener. And, like, you know, we like to make fun of him a lot on here. You know, we've had some segments over the years sponsored by alcohol beverages to make fun of him, but, you know, like, he's a loyal listener. Let's hit him next year. And we'll talk about Justin's team. You know, Justin, you know, he had a not great draft board again, but not as bad as normal.
Right? It was actually pretty normal. Normal. He had 2/4 and 2/5. So for Justin, this is basically unheard of, I'd say. 2/4, 2/5, 2/7. You know, down a 10th, a 14th, and a 15th. So, I mean, and this is Justin operating at a, you know, maximum capacity. So with his kind of record, you would think this team should be the top of the league. I mean, he's done well with a lot less in the past.
I like this team on paper. How do you feel?
Yeah, I feel like it's in good shape. And it's some of the there's a mix of, there's a lot of older guys here, and older guys to me, and there's stability in that, but you know, the upside might not be there, but you know, it's going to be solid. And with Justin managing the team, you know, he should be able to fill in the pieces around that. So, you know, I think like maybe Jalen Brunson's a little too soon. But like, you know, he's going to be a good value, you know, same thing with like Vucevic, who like had a really healthy season, probably isn't going to repeat that for the Bulls this time around.
Wait, can I say something though? Like, so I think there's a lot of like negativity in the basketball media about the Bulls, like, and that's all because they just don't like watching the Bulls. Like from a fantasy perspective, DeRozan and Vucevic is like, to me, as proven as it can be. Like, I feel like those guys are in that like Chris Paul category. Like no one, like, again, not sexy draft picks, but they're always going to, you know exactly what they're going to give you. They're going to return top 35 value pretty easily. Like
they play games. They play games.
They're going to play a lot of games.
Important.
Yep. And like, I don't know, like Vucevic, people always want him around the trade deadline for a reason. DeRozan, people always want him to plug some gaps around the trade deadline for a reason. So like, those are two good guys who, yeah, they're older, but like, those are the kind of older guys you want to build a championship team. CJ McCollum, I might, you know, have a qualm with, even though last year he was pretty solid and played most of the year. You know, he has some young upside with Scoot Henderson. That's a good pick. Scotty Barnes as well. You know, Cade Cunningham, I, you know, a lot of people are talking pretty strongly about him. So like, I think this team has a really good blend of upside and like, there's a very low floor, or sorry, very high floor for this team. You know, I think we're going to be talking about a top three team no matter what. And then, you know, I think with Justin's ability to trade and all that, like, it's going to be pretty hard to see how he's not going to be the number one team probably at the end of the regular season, which might be a curse.
Wow. Number one, right? End of the regular season, number one. Okay. I mean, there's another manager I think would like to have a word in that conversation, but no, Justin should be up there. I agree with you. Definitely good pieces here. You know, he's going to fill in the cracks and, you know, make some moves to, you know, he'll get rid of like the Christian Woods or the Kelly Oubres if they're not performing after the first few weeks of the season. Yeah, I'm curious, like, some of the efficiency with like Cade and Sabonis, like both a bit erratic to build your team around, like with Sabonis, the free throws, with Cade, the field goals. So a little bit of risk factor there, and like Capella, you know, can beat up your free throw percentage. So kind of curious about the center depth.
Yeah, I figure he'll address
should be
it.
Enough here.
He'll address it at some point. You know, I have lots of centers. Justin and I do have a pretty good trade relationship, so I imagine we'll hit that up at some point. You know, once Jakob Poeltl starts busting out assists and Şengün is, you know, triple doubling every game, you know, we'll have something to talk about.
Şengün could have had a nice home here. Definitely, I think, fits in with, like, the Sabonis build nicely if you guys wanted to go that direction. But, yeah, big year for Justin. He basically kind of tanked last year and still made the playoffs. So this year he should be coming out for the gold. All right. Shall we swing? Should we hit the other top echelon team here at this point?
I think it only makes sense. You know, keep it fresh in our eyes here.
All right, so in the pole position, I mean, Andy had a stacked draft board, and, you know, I was happy to give him a further boost with a couple of my picks to, you know, further solidify the early round. And I think he had, like, I think it was 8 picks in the first 36, he says, up and along those lines. So, you know, I mean, this guy, before the end of the 5th round, he grabbed Victor Wembanyama, DeJounte Murray, Darius Garland, Miles Turner, Bradley Beal, Julius Randle, Rudy Gobert, and Klay Thompson to end the 5th round. And, you know, two keepers in LaMelo and Devin Booker. So, I mean, you've got a playoff team right already out of the gate.
I think we talked about this offline, but, like, we have to address this now. Like, it was probably a huge mistake that no one reached out to, and I assume no one reached out to Andrew for that number one overall pick. I think Wembanyama's going to make everything look crazy. I think he's probably going to walk into the league as like a top in reality, like a top 15 player in fantasy, probably a top 20 player. And like, he's going to be kept from here on out. This team's good. I am concerned about the team's karma.
Karma.
Yeah. You know, Charlotte seems cursed this season. I think Memphis is the other team that seems cursed this season. And he has kind of the core guys for the first parts of the season from those teams. Bane should put up huge numbers. LaMelo, I just think there's some spooky stuff that's going to be going on there. you know, I think his bigs are interesting. Rudy Gobert, like, he's Rudy Gobert. I do feel like this is the season that there's, like, a breakdown at Minnesota. Like, something's going to happen. I don't know what. I feel like the league is tiring of Rudy Gobert. You know, I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but, like, it feels strange. But I'm being extremely nitpicky here. Like, this is a good roster. I think kind of the fat here is probably, like, Clay. I don't know what if Clay's going to be Clay.
Yeah.
Still
Clay in the fifth round was aggressive. I mean, yeah, you get 3-pointers and, you know, some points, but
yeah, I mean,
not much else to fill it out.
I'm probably jealous because I want an Amen Thompson, but, like, it is a rookie on a cluttered team. Jarace Walker, like, I do think he's going to come off the bench to start the season. Like, I think there's Obi. What's that? We have a battle there.
Battle in that position.
Yeah, but I do think Obi's there, and Strus, like, I don't know. Is he a real fantasy player? Like, I don't know. So, look, Andrew will make moves also. I do think, like, the reason for my comment is I do think that Justin has been a slightly better manager, like, in the last few years. So, this is, like, Andrew also has not had a good roster in a few years, I'd say. Like, a really good roster. So, maybe he, you know, he's motivated right now. Pick it up. But, like, I have Justin in pole position to start and Andrew right behind him.
Yeah, you know, as we talk through it, I could see your point. Because, I mean, I do think Andrew's kind of known for he has his picks like Amen Thompson, and I bet you Jarace Walker will be on this team for several months just because Andrew's too stubborn to give up and move on them. So, I mean, you know, I guess he can draw Max Strus and, you know, maybe Brogdon if, you know, he's not getting a lot of minutes for Portland out of the gate. But, you know, there's not a lot of maneuverability here.
Yeah.
And I think the draft could have gone a lot better to me if, like, you know, I replaced, like, a Julius Randle, Gobert, and Klay Thompson. That whole fifth round to me, I don't know. Like, Randle's like a souped-up Harrison Barnes. Like, that's
– I don't know. I'll tell you what. Like, Randle's fantasy numbers did well. He was on my team last year. For a good team,
he plays a lot.
For a good fantasy team, he's he's perfect glue. Like, because he actually, he'll have games where he just rattles off like a lot of steals for no reason or a lot of assists for no reason. Like, so even though his like averages may not be great, like he'll pull out a win for your team in like the sixth or seventh guy role. You know,
he gets you the.
Whereas Harrison Barnes will never do that. Whereas Harrison Barnes is like, you know, a nicer Jeff Green basically.
I don't know. At least Barnes, like, the percentages ain't going to hurt you. Like, Randle just hurts you because he can't shoot well from the field or the line. And he does a lot of turnovers. He doesn't bring the steals. He doesn't bring the blocks. So he's a flawed player. He can fill it up if your team's trying to build in that direction, you know, and, like, one of the percentages you don't care about. But, like, for Andy's team, he has the counting stats. He doesn't need Randle coming in here to do that.
I'm personally more offended by Bradley Beal being on this team. Like, you know. Bradley Beal stinks.
I guess, this team does have a lot of pulse stench on it right now that we talked about it.
Yeah, Bradley Beal, already a game-time decision.
I think Beal has a little play for it now. I mean, to me, I'm kind of like, I swing around on a player like that who, like, finally got out of purgatory. Now, I think he wants to prove himself.
All right, let's be very clear. A self-induced purgatory. Like, he decided just to become, like, a weirdo.
This is what the superstars do. They get their 5-year mega max. And they kind of like act like they don't want to get traded, but like they're open to getting traded. They love their city, but like they'll do what they need to do for the team. And then, you know, they somehow get traded.
Yeah, Beal's also like a perfect Andrew player in that, like, in reality, he's like a super shooter, but he's like plus in every other area. But like, he doesn't really want to do the other things. Like, he just wants to shoot. Maybe he'll do that in this team. You know, we'll see. Garland, I like. Wembanyama, I like. DeJounte Murray,
good. I don't think he would never have traded that Wemby pick. I mean, maybe Andrew doesn't realize it at the time, but he would have looked and realized that Wemby was out there, and I don't know. I don't think that pick's moving. So, I don't know. Enjoy him for the next 10 years or whatever, unless he has some Greg Oden injuries. I don't really see how Wemby falters along the way.
No, if he's injured, like if he's healthy, like how could he be lower than like a top 5 player of all time? He looks incredible, and he's, you know, so young. So,
So, you know, we'll see, I guess we'll see how like the feel for the game develops, that kind of thing. I'm curious, like when people body him, like how he handles that kind of stuff. And you know, different. Like Kristaps had these handles. Kristaps had some
No, he didn't.
size
No,
and
he
like the
didn't. No.
range.
Kristaps had these handles in an open gym. He never in a game put the ball through someone's legs at full sprint and kept going. Like, it's fucking insane.
Crossover. I don't know. It's
And what I
yeah,
like about
he's
him, what
yeah.
I like about him, and that's the thing also, like with him, you could tell he loves basketball. Like, some of these moves that he does, you could tell he's invented these things on the fly, playing throughout his career in the gym. Like, this is a guy who definitely is like a hooper, not just like a. So I'm excited for the Wembanyama-sance, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a good time here. I think you may see some of these older guys retiring sooner just to try to denounce his era of basketball, like the older guys had done before them. So yeah, that's all I got there.
All right, yeah, let's move on. But I fully expect Andrew Justin to, you know, be leading the standings, you know, after a month or two, and I can't imagine it changing much. But yeah, you know, Justin always with a quicker trigger finger. Yeah, I agree with you. We'll probably pull ahead for the one seed at least before this is all said and done. All right, should we hit? I guess, you know, I actually thought that like maybe Trevier's team wasn't going to go so like swaggy crazy for once. Like some of the early picks, like DeAndre Ayton in the fourth round. Like I like Ayton this year. I think, you know, I'm obviously a very overly confident Ayton that we're dealing with, but I feel like he's in the right setup. Another player was going to prove the Bradley Beal effect, and kind of similar to Tyrese Maxey, who's I feel like a forgotten man in Philadelphia, and is just happy to fill the gap. If James wants to play, I could shoot. If James wants to, you know, take some time, go to the clubs, you know, hate Daryl Morey, in every country around the world, he's happy to play the point guard position. Those were two very nice starts, I thought, for Trevier. After that, things changed.
I certainly agree there. And look, I'll agree with you with what you said. I've actually always thought Aiden's a nice fantasy player. Like, he could probably do a little more for you in the blocks and all that, but like he's a pretty damn good center. He's young, and I always thought watching him in college play, like, oh, this guy's like a Tim Duncan type. Like, I'm really curious to see what he looks like in Portland, where hopefully they run him as the focal point. Hopefully they don't do anything stupid and like clutter up the floor with him and Robert Williams the third at the same time. But I think he's very capable of running from like a high post, having guys move around him. Like, well, let's see. I think it'll be interesting. And where his teammates aren't just actively bullying him all the time. Trevier's team, you might have been a little harsh. Yeah, I think the picks were bad. Like, so like from a draft grade perspective, sure. But there's just a lot of talent here, Ira. I mean, like Kyrie, it seems like he's going to play the whole season, besides injuries. Like Maxey, Trae Young, Durant, Kuzma, who is like a light version of Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, who, whatever, Mitchell Robinson, good fantasy center. There's a little bit of fall off there at that point, but like if he actually pays attention, which again, questionable whether he'll do it. There's no reason he can't coach his team into like a mid playoff spot.
It's, I guess it's, I mean, if you look at the keepers, obviously, like that changes things if we get, I just can't agree that Kyrie's going to play because Kyrie always finds a way not to play. Even if all indicators say that he should play because of money, because of happiness, whatever. Like, he wants to go to Lakers probably still. And I'm just not going to assume that he's playing over 60 games. I do think, like, you know, Trey, Durant, assuming he can actually play this season. I mean, those two are, you know, top 10 fantasy talents. I mean, Trey's top 15, but I think he's kind of been a little forgotten just because, like, the Hawks kind of fell by the wayside last year.
And I think he's really motivated this year after being snubbed from Team USA. Like, I think he is ready to like, and John Collins is gone now. So like whatever tension there was there, like I just think he's gonna have a really, really good season. Like if Trevier's team is hanging pretty well before Ja gets back, like we're all gonna be a little bit nervous. There are some really bad players on this team from a fantasy perspective. Grant Williams, like, why is he on a fantasy roster? Dylan Brooks, like, okay, like The guy seems
Euro
on a mission.
Team Canada.
He seems to be on a mission to like get thrown out of every game this season. And I think, by the way, Patrick Beverley is going to be on that same mission to like, I don't know if you noticed this, but like the preseason game Brooks got ejected from, the next night Beverley got ejected from one. It seems like Beverley like is concerned that he's losing his number one asshole spot to Dylan Brooks and is going to do anything in his power to prove that he still has it. So keep an eye on that story this season, everybody. Eric Gordon, like, huh? Like,
yeah, but then the Trier's draft was a lot of like shooter names that like was just like, I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, but I don't know. Like even Josh Richardson might start for the Heat, but I don't see him becoming like a 15-5-5 guy or something. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I kind of agree with you, like, that there's some value in these names, like a Kuzma, but like in the seventh round, like, you're not getting a lot of value for a Kuzma. Westbrook in the ninth, like, hey, Westbrook for the right team, he's fine. But like in the ninth round, it's too soon. And Barrett's trash. I mean, yeah. Once again, I guess if you're trying to build a team with Barrett and Westbrook and, you know, Kuzma, it makes sense. But like your headline talent is Trey, Durant, and Kyrie, who don't have weaknesses in the percentages. So I don't know. It's not how I build a roster. And Morant's too soon. Like, Ja in the 10th round would have made sense. But, like, you're not going to keep Ja in the 5th round next year, I don't think. I don't know. Frustrating draft. I didn't think she was going to manage. So maybe he pulls it out. But, like, I don't know. The build I just did not like.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's, like, we'll basically have an idea of how a season's going to go probably within the first 2 weeks. If like, of those guys you mentioned, between Gordon, Richardson, Brooks, and Williams, if any more than one of those guys is on that team, probably after 2 weeks, like, we're going to know how the season's going to go for Trevier. You know, he has had good teams in the last few years, or like good enough teams to make the playoffs, and he just didn't do anything to get them in. So, yeah, we'll see. Right mm-hmm. now, right now he's an empty util spot. So we'll see if he fills that before
really?
He starts. Yeah. okay. He moved Ja to the IL plus spot. He added Bilal Coulibaly, who had some pretty showy preseason play. The Wizards, who I think have less of a small forward logjam than in the past. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see. Let's move on.
Let's swing from like the insanity one Shabir's in to like the robotic nature that is a John Stein roster for just a little more.
You must have read my mind. You must have read my mind. I had my mouse over Nostradamus prior to even starting saying robot. So yeah, we're good here.
Yes, I am John. I liked a lot of the names that John picked up along the way. And, you know, like, I found the whole mid round to just be a clusterfuck of like good players, but like where I just don't feel like anyone is that much better than the other. And like mm-hmm. somebody like an Anthony Simons and Jalen Williams in the fifth and the sixth, like those guys have potential to me to improve upon what they did. Like both were already like mid round talents last year, and now Simons should be getting a nice pathway forward in Portland. I think Jalen Williams already has a good floor in OKC. They should only be trying harder in year two, giving him more opportunity to flash his stats. And then I think it's a very John board, you know, like Gary Trent Jr., solid steals guy, Zach Collins, I think we're both fans of in San Antonio. Still be the center out there. No? You're great. Yeah. Okay.
How many years in the league has he been now? How many years has he been in the league?
I feel like he's been hurt a lot in the past.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's been around forever, and like, you know, it's always like, oh, this is the Zach Collins breakout year.
Yeah.
Like, and yeah, he was good backing up. Yeah. He was good backing up Pirtle last year. We'll see.
He's got easy 1-1-1 value. And, you know,
are you comfortable with Jalen Williams having the same opportunity on that team this year? Like, OKC was like fairly loaded now.
They definitely have like clear guys in the pecking order, but like, I don't think Giddy's looking to be like a 20 point a game kind of guy. I mean, obviously Shea's going to be the lead stud. I don't think Shet's like going to be, putting up 20 points either. So, I mean, I don't see why Jalen Williams can't put up like 18 points next season. It's like something along those lines. You know, the steals, the assists should only grow, and the percentages are strong. So, I mean, I don't know. To me, that's like a rookie with a nice opportunity to keep improving. It's a very John roster. you know, I think, I guess Evan Mobley, I think Evan Mobley, I kind of sour a little bit too, but like.
Oh, I like Evan Mobley. I think he, look, a sophomore slump of like 16, 9, 3 assists and like a block and a half with only 1.8 turnovers. Like, I'm in. Like, I think he's going to bounce back pretty strong. Like, I think he's really good. I'm not concerned.
He would have landed with you if he was there?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, and really for Mobley, I think it's a three-pointer needs to develop, or, you know, the free throws need to improve. Like, that's probably one of the two needs to improve for his fantasy game to really take off. And I guess we should give John credit also for, you know, the Chet gamble at pick last season paid off nicely.
This is going to be the tough name for you of the season, huh?
What is it, Chet?
Yeah, Chet? It's Chet, like a hard Ch. Chet.
Chet. Okay, like a little like Chipper Jones, Chet.
Though, okay. Maybe he should, like, he should change it to Chet, so you have Chet and Shy. Like, that could be kind of fun.
Fair. Yeah, Chet. Yeah, I'll get it down.
That could be their relationship name.
Yeah, not bad. But yeah, no, that was. I guess we're playing with the keeper with a 10 roll this season, so it'll be interesting to see how that changes the keeper landscape as the year goes on. So now you have to pick them if you want to keep them late. Which is an interesting wrinkle for like the teams that sell out that are, you know, trying to go for the playoff spots. Now those late picks kind of have a little more value than they used to.
Do we determine whether you have to keep the guy on your roster the whole year or if he could be dropped at some point and added back?
And I think the conversation went how it usually does when I offer to track things. People don't like the idea and they said, well, just let it happen.
Because it's too hard to.
So like I kind of. People basically like you can still keep them if you drop them.
Okay.
Because it was too difficult to track. I think it's the people can't get over that mental hurdle usually.
Yeah, like, you know, clicking the transactions button and like seeing if the guy was ever in the transactions and that's it, right?
Well, this is deep stuff, Paul.
Yeah.
Most people can't figure out what to press active players.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have to go, or try and go through every team here? Or what do you do? One or two more? And
then, let's see one or two more. Is there anyone who listens to the podcast? I think we should, like, you know, let's see.
Garrett.
Yeah. Let's take Garrett.
All right. Let's take Garrett, who, yeah, he definitely seemed very, very locked in coming into the draft, which is nice to see. Yeah, I could definitely recognize, let's see. Oh, well, the James Harden pick. That was an interesting one. And I feel like the situation's only gotten worse, but. At the time, I didn't hate the pick. I thought it was – I just think Harden, you know, clear-cut, like, top 20 player. And is always healthy. So, to me, taking him in the third round made sense. And he wants to get paid, so he has to play.
I mean, here's the thing. There's two perspectives here, right? Like, one is, like, okay, you've made a statement of intent this year that you, like, want to be in the hunt. So do you start with your first pick of a guy who has an uncertain season ahead? And what that means is, like, no matter what, he's probably going to sit out the first 10 games. And if that's all it is, probably 10 games after that, he's going to be working himself back into shape. So your percentage is going to suffer all that. You have some guys on this roster to go along with him. You have some injury stuff. You have a lot of Boston, like having three guys from Boston, like it's a lot of hedging. Like,
I don't want to say hello.
I just don't know. Leanna has brought the baby onto the shot here. Hi, Wells. She can't hear me though.
We have a gate.
Is that true? I'm not coming to the computer.
He has some thoughts. Yeah.
What would Wells like to add to the podcast?
Not much. A lot of dead air here, Leanna. A lot of dead air.
He's
a little sleepy at the moment.
Yeah.
Put him to bed.
He's sleeping on your teams, just like.
Did she rehearse this?
No. She's I think she's struggling under the spotlight here. All right. Let's go back to him. Let's come back to Wells later.
Okay.
Put that baby to sleep. He wants to be sleeping. Look at him.
Where does that? Nah, he has to. He needs a feed. It's a 3-hour call.
Okay. Yeah, I forget. It's amazing how fast you forget. We'll talk about this in a few minutes, but it's fast how.
Like, I'm genius.
It's amazing how fast you forget some of these things. It was not so long ago for me.
Well, he's saying he's forgotten how the short-term feeding cycle works. Anyway.
Garrett's team, pretty good. Like, you know, a lot of like
A lot of, like, said hi.
A lot of cutesy picks, in my opinion.
I think Garrett was a man who knew what he wanted. And, you know, it's – I respect that kind of drafting philosophy because, you know, you're not just, like, going by chalk or something. But I don't know. To me, the whole middle of the draft just, like there's value, but just nobody stands out to me. So, like, at that point, like, I don't know, especially, like, names like Jalen Duren and, like, Mark Williams, like, they could be, like, top 60 guys, but, like, where Garrett drafted them, they better be if, like, to pay off on, like the kind of reach he made.
And Duren seems like an internet hype guy, to be honest. Like, I don't know. Like, he's young. He's a young, big guy. Like, he had 0.7 steals and 0.9 blocks last year. I don't know. Maybe I'm too harsh. Yeah, it's not a bad one.
I mean, 25 minutes per game. I mean, Isaiah Stewart walked a similar path, and it didn't work out so nicely. I mean, maybe I have some bad memories of that selection on my end a few years ago. But look, I mean, he should be better, but it's just a question of, like, how much better is he going to be? You know, he's at 25 minutes per game already. I don't know, make it 30. You know, maybe he goes for 12-12, and, you know, 1.2, 1.3 blocks. That's solid. I don't know, just like sixth round. I don't know. It's like you're already taking a lot of risk there. I don't know. You could go old with Brook Lopez.
Well, let me ask you a question. Who is like right after James Harden? Who are like the two or three picks right after Harden?
In the early parts of the draft, LeBron. You want like a younger, like proven DeJounte Murray was there. Then we saw like Jalen Brunson, Evan Mobley.
Yeah. So I guess in that case, like, not a lot of like sexy guys. Like I get the Harden there. To me, you have Jordan Poole on your roster. Like,
you could go like Darren Fox or Darius Garland. That would have been like the sexy point guard if you wanted like one like that.
Yeah, and LeBron would have been kind of a nice veteran to put on this team, to be honest. Like with the rest of the guys here, like, you know, I don't know. It's especially the assist numbers, like are going to be. I guess he's punting assists. So like, does Harden even?
Harden, that's the thing. Yeah. If Harden plays, he's good. If Harden's not playing, then. Yeah, I agree with you. Assist probably should have just been a throwaway.
Like, I mean, Poole's numbers are going to go up. Like, Poole had, like, you know, Poole should average more assists next year. But I don't know.
I'm liking Poole. Poole's going to have a good season.
Yeah.
There's enough questionable picks that, like, I'm not thrilled with the team. Like, going further down. Like, I like Reeves in reality. I become, like, a bit of a Lakers homer owning it, Anthony Davis and watching them late night a lot.
Wow. But,
like, I just don't think Reeves is a good fantasy player. Like, I just don't see, like, the steals and blocks. I don't think he's going to be a huge rebound or assist guy. So, you know, he's one of those marksmen. And, like, marksmen don't add up to that much, in my opinion. And, yeah, Bruce Brown, I don't know. His percentages are weak. So, I mean, he'll get minutes. Like, he'll put up some, like, counting stats. But I just don't think
Bruce Brown, gonna be enough Bruce to justify Brown, it. Bruce Brown also has that smell of, like, there's always one free agent signing every year that, like, there's too much action for him during NBA free agency, and then he gets to the team and kind of like becomes invisible. I feel like that could very well be Bruce Brown this year. Like leaving the championship team, going to a place where there's like it's crowded. Indiana always seems to be the team too, where like you could go from being like and he was not the starter in Denver, but like you'd go from being the starter somewhere else to like coming here, having like two other guys that do the same stuff as you, and then just like kind of wind up playing like 10 minutes a game. I wouldn't be shocked if that happens to Bruce Brown on that roster.
Yeah. Indiana's one of those teams where it's like things feel open, but at the same time, they feel very, like, very restricted and, like, you can't really break out. It just, I don't know. Maybe, and also, like, Carlisle's the kind of coach where, like, everyone's going to be on a leash and, like, nobody's ever going to get to, like, really max out fantasy-wise, besides, like, Haliburton, obviously, who's going to be a stud this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say the 15th round selection, it sounds like Sohan's going to be starting for the Spurs. So, like, might be the point guard, actually.
Yeah, when he made that pick, I was like, oh, fuck, like, that's a great pick. Like, I just missed it. And I'm like, fuck, I did a great job there. So, that's a good pick.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, and Keontae George might also emerge, which I think, you know, I think Garrett is thinking, like, keeper value, even if he drops him, you know, could get him back later. Nobody scoops him up. So, there's some names here that I like. It's just, I don't know, those centers felt like a bit of reaches to me, and like, I don't know. And the centers are tough this season. Garrett's already got Cat and KP, who I feel like carry some risk. So it's an interesting roster. Garrett's gonna have to manage. You know, I feel like he's he's often a little middling about the managing side of things, and
yeah,
you know, maybe a trade is needed, something along those lines.
Yeah, like it kind of looks like he has enough talent to like not have to go crazy early on, and like, you know, I think he'll be smart about just like, I think the best thing for Garrett to do is get into that rhythm of like cycling your worst guy or two in the first week or two, just to do it, just to remind yourself that like, hey, like this is how you win. Like, don't get too attached. Even if it doesn't make sense to drop some of these guys, like, I mean, Herb Jones should be a drop candidate pretty quickly. You know, Osar Thompson, if he's not immediately producing, like, that's a guy that should go to the waiver wire. But yeah, like, this is a fun team to manage, I think. I think he's engaged. I'm not concerned about Garrett's team at all.
Yeah,
I don't think he's a lock for anything, but, like, I think it's an interesting team.
Yeah, the fun factor's there, and definitely I think part of fantasy is, you know, you want to be able to enjoy yourself, so definitely a good drafting in that regard. Do we need to hit Theron, or do you think there's no chance Theron's listening? What's our call on that one?
Yeah, let's be safe. Let's do it quickly. Let's do it quickly.
Okay, all right. We can run
probably
through.
He's probably not listening, but we'll hit it quick.
Okay. It's not my favorite board. A lot of those shooter types that I just don't see enough in the game. You know, Duran was operating behind with, like, he had 4 8th rounders, I think partially with your trade and other trades. So, you know, down a third, down a fifth. So OG in the fourth round.
Yeah, that's high.
A little aggressive.
But here's like, the thing. I think if Duran didn't take him in the fourth, someone else is taking him in the fourth. Like, I think for some reason OG was just going to the fourth this year. Like, he put up good enough numbers. He's young enough still that, like, he's going to go there. So if you think he fits your roster type, you kind of have to take him at that spot.
If not the fourth, he would have been the fifth, like early fifth. Like, he definitely would have been in this neighborhood. But it's just like OG's
– But you know,
been waiting for OG for, like, 3 years.
Yeah, he was actually, like – didn't he want to – producing, like, pretty damn good value last year? Like, he was, like, top 35 maybe. But – you know,
yeah, 1.9 steals. You know, yeah, that's, I mean, it just kind of makes you
pretty great.
Definitely valuable. Definitely valuable.
And also, by the way, to get a specialist that's actually a good player is like really nice, because you know you're going to get consistency there, as opposed to like, you know, having to scrounge around for Matisse Thybulle or some shit like that. And also, like, it does happen in drafts where like sometimes you're in the spot where you're like, ugh, I don't want to take this guy here, but I have to take him. And I think maybe that's what happened at this spot too. This roster is interesting. I feel like he has a good blend of like reliable guys and like younger upside. I think the Dennis Schroeder pick is probably going to wind up being pretty good. I think he's going to be starting there, right? I mean,
I think that is the expectation. Yeah, probably a rosterable player, like a Harrison Barnes type outlook, I think, for his season. Which is fine. And, you know, Clarkson's kind of similar, where, you know, there's enough value there that you can rely on him for the season. Obviously, I just actually signed an extension, I think, today with the Wizards.
Yeah, Jerome texted me about it. It's 4 for $55 million. Which is nice, yeah. Nice for him.
Good for the Wizards. It's a good deal for the Wizards, I think, you know.
Do you see the video of him and Jordan Poole yelling at each other?
I missed that one, though.
Jordan Poole, like, didn't pass to him wide open two plays in a row. They went back to the bench.
Ooh, like,
and they're screaming at each other. Kuzma's laughing.
Okay.
Yeah. Pretty. I think Washington's going to be the team that like winds up winning like 14 games this year.
Sounds about right. I mean, yeah, they're definitely in the pool. I guess them or maybe the Pistons. Yeah. I mean, there's a few teams. Yeah. That'll be chasing that first pick. But yeah, I like Jabari Smith this year. I liked him last year too. So, I mean, little I know. But he's had a great preseason, had a very nice summer league. So, you know, I think it's a good value. I think like Valanciunas, I don't – like the Pelicans, at least right now, are going to be healthy. So, like, that's a team where, like, you know, injuries happen, maybe things work out. But, like, I don't know. Valanciunas with a healthy Zion, no point taking him. Just let him slide. Like Wendell Carter, like the ninth run, that's solid value. Injury-prone center. But, I mean, you know, that's going to be like 15 to 10, you know. Get a top out, like close to a block, solid percentages from the center hole. Cam Johnson, I don't know, like good shooter, but like another guy that like I'm not really buying it.
You're speaking my language. I'm like the number one Cam Johnson non-believer. Like this guy, again, every year, and he's actually not that young. He's 28. Every year in the league.
Is that old?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
And that is a bit shocking.
All right. This is how you know I'm a true hater, because I know his age, because I know he's not that young, even though he's tricking everyone to think he's that young. He's like, everyone talks about him like he's such a good shooter, and like, okay, like, not like, okay, do it consistently, man. Like, beat somebody out. He's never beat anyone out for a starting spot, like, ever. You know, the ownership needed to like tell Jay Crowder that they wanted to develop Cam Johnson to like because Jay Crowder effectively beat him out, and then they still put him to the bench. Like, I just don't trust him as a basketball player. Like, on this team, like, yeah, like Dinwiddie will probably set him up pretty nicely, but like, he's Jeff Greeny to me too, or like, he kind of has all the tools, but like, I don't know that he has the drive to like really bring it home.
Yeah, just like the rebounds and assists aren't really going to be there. I don't know. If the steals come, they come, and then he'll be good enough. But I don't know. I'm just not I'm not sold on the bill of goods. And don't count on my guy Ben Simmons. I think Dinwiddie might have to come off the bench this season to let Simmons cook.
No, oh, please.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, so I don't know. It's a little.
I know how much you respect point guards that dribble away from the basket when they're underneath it. So I do understand the love for Simmons from you there.
Well, I think Simmons and I share an he shares an he can't use his left hand and I can't use my right hand. So you know, there's a we each come with our own restrictions.
Isn't he lefty too?
I know Kevin O'Connor like always had a thing where like Ben Simmons should be shooting free throws left-handed, I think.
Okay.
Instead of right-handed.
Okay.
And that would like cure his whole like free throw phobia.
People who don't know what the hell they're talking about. Kevin O'Connor, my God.
Yeah, I guess Kevin O'Connor, man.
Also for years.
Yeah. All right, whatever. I know you're too close to the ringer now.
No. He's just too far on the nerd spectrum. Like, you know, self-proclaimed draft Nick, like he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah, I feel like he's normalized. I feel like he's like a salt. Like he's gotten through like the Zach Lowe journey of like being like a dork loser who now is like respected in NBA circles, can actually like rub shoulders and like.
I don't know about that. I don't know how respected he is, but all right, fair.
Okay, well, that's all right. I think that was a nice overview of the league. I did like Levy's team, so I mean that's a team to at least keep an eye on. I'll say. And like considering how bad Levy's been for the last 5 years, it could be nice to see him actually like make the playoffs for once. Maybe make some trades to make a push for things.
Well, Levy, I know you're nice. I know you're not listening, but say it with me, Ira. Say it with me, Ira. Levy, do not give up early on for no reason. Just play through whatever you have. Like, I'm already nervous. I see four guys with game time decisions, five with game time decisions roster. Terry Eason is injured. Why don't you go ahead and drop him? If he's actually injured, just go drop him because he's not that good. Like, don't let him waste an IL spot. Maybe your next service hire for this league is like, you should just be a rehabber for our damaged managers who like in the year that they have a good draft, you just like coach them through the first few weeks of the season. Be like, look, here's what you need to do. I'm gonna stay on top of you for like a month just so you get your feet wet again. Like, you know, don't be putting your bottom two guys in the IL spots, just drop them, free it up, get someone else coming through, and let's keep it moving here. So, and just wait, yeah.
Put it in child mode for the first month, you know, just kind of like, yeah. Have some tips pop up on the screen, you know, that I just send them, yeah, do this, try this button, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's not a bad idea, But yeah, hopefully Levy can turn something. Eric's team, not too high on Dank. I mean, Dank has talent, but I mean, there's going to be injuries here. So if he doesn't manage it, it's kind of a waste of time. I do think Paul George was a nice grab in the fourth round by the auto draft. I would have loved to have had him there if I had a pick up there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to another year 20. You know, who's counting? But should be fun, Paul. Should be fun.
Yep. And of course, we will get to see this year finally, you know, how you perform in your first season as a father. You know, many managers have been affected, not affected in different ways. So like, I guess, how's it going so far?
So far, so good. You know, I don't know. It's more of like a doll at this point. You know, we're not quite at the point where I feel like there's a lot of back and forth that needs to take place. It's a very much, do you need to eat? Do you have a diaper issue? Or are we trying to get you to fall asleep? That's kind of the different modes. Sometimes it's fun to like make him lay on his back or get uncomfortable and watch him struggle a little bit, you know. That's about the three or four activities that come with the first 2 weeks of fatherhood.
Yeah, I feel like early on it's basically just like a time management type thing. Like, all right, like keep your eye on the clock. Let's not forget to wake this kid up and feed them. And that's kind of it. Like, it doesn't really get fun until like, you know, 5 months or so when they could kind of start looking like a real human being. And, but like, yeah, just keep them going early on. And, you know, I don't know. That's kind of it. Like, you were very optimistic going into it that none of the sleep stuff would bother you. Are you as unimpacted by the sleep as you thought?
It's been pretty easy so far. I think I'm finding that I should just like, I mean, like I the first few days being home, I just needed to be like, okay, like I need to like keep the pot of coffee always full. Like I just need to have coffee ready on demand. I can't make it. There's not enough time for that. So, you know, like little things like that, I need to like just put in place to make my life easier. But, you know, Leanna's been a trooper, and, you know, she takes like one or two of the feedings at night, which, I mean, she does all the feedings basically. So I could still get like my 5 or 6 hours and then I'm good.
Oh yeah. If you're not doing the feedings, it's pretty not so bad at night. Like you'd sleep without feeling too guilty. And I mean, that's it. That's just it though. Like the coffee thing, like it's a good point. Like it's all about setting up your systems that work for you early on. I think it's like, how do you arrange your apartment? How do you make things more like systematic in your new life? And like, that's kind of, it's just figuring all that out and trying new stuff until it works and then kind of sticking with it. And then everything gets easier.
Yeah. No pee in the face yet. So that part's been good. I'm finding he's not a quick trigger on that, which is useful, you know, and you know, no blow up shits yet. So
yeah, it'll come.
Yeah, so far things are good.
I do think the blow ups are over advertised, at least from my. I mean, maybe every kid's different. Like I feel like Andrew's kids have had a lot of blowouts from what he said, but like, fine for me. Like the blowouts didn't happen. Joey had a few as she got older. Charlie's had like one so far in 6 months, like, and the pee thing, like, yeah, like I think he peed on me like twice, and that was kind of the end of that. So you may be through it, man. If you haven't got peed on yet, you're probably in like, you know, pretty good shape there. Has it been a month yet?
After the no, it's been two weeks. Yeah, it's been 2 weeks. Yeah, I mentioned my 2 weeks leave. Yeah, that was yeah. So yeah.
Unless you're going back to work tomorrow.
Going back tomorrow.
All yeah. Right.
I'm ready. Time to lock back in.
Are you going into the office or are you working from home?
I'll be at home and the in-laws will be in town like this entire week. So it's going to be, it'll be an exciting weekend in the apartment.
You may wind up deciding to go in a few days if they're here. Just like, I think the thing that always, I mean, I don't know how you feel so far. And, you know, we're excited to come meet Wells next weekend for a bit. Hopefully we're all, you know, not sick and all that, but, I think early on, the number one thing you realize is like a cramped living space is the worst thing. And there's too many chefs in the kitchen. Like if too many people are fighting over the baby, yada, yada, yada. Like that's the hardest. It's the hardest thing. So like to navigate, I used to try to get out of the house when there were too many people there, just cause like, I'm not doing anything. Let me go do something useful.
I agree with you, but yeah, I mean, I think I'm needed at home for now just to, you know, make sure there's peace and everything. But yeah, no, but you know, I got through COVID. The child didn't get COVID, I don't think.
That's good.
For me at least, you know, I'm not aware of anybody getting COVID in the hospital from me. So that was all successful. We already did like our, you know, first time parents. Our baby's making a weird noise. We called the late night service. They said, go to the hospital if you think he has breathing issues. So we already checked that box, you know, where they were like nicely like, oh, yeah, everything's okay. That's just like the noises they make. So, you know, I feel like I've had all the experience at this point. I mean, you know, it's, you know, whatever. It seems pretty easy. So I don't really know what you guys complained about all these years. But,
no, we're not complaining about that. I've never complained about that part of the process. First off, you're not doing night feedings. So you don't know what we're complaining about. So if you had to wake up, it might be a little different. So that's one.
Oh, I stay up till 1 o'clock, you know. I mean,
well, that's stupid then. Go to sleep. What are you doing?
Well, I'm being supportive. That's what a partner does, Paul. God.
No, get some sleep. So one of you has, so that in the morning could be helpful and supportive. What do you think?
I do it all, you know.
Do it all.
Yeah. Supportive at night, make moves in the middle of the night, you know, get there up in the early morning.
You know, I don't really complain that much about the night stuff because, like, we always rotate, so one of us is always kind of fresh. And it all gets harder, Ira, because little problems, big baby, big problems. So
that'll be interesting.
You have different issues as they
more difficult for napping. That's the I think that's like the new game, trying to figure out like what makes the kid fall asleep, which seems to have no actual pattern. Just kind of, I don't know. It's like you're angry, and then you do this, and they fall asleep.
I do think the hardest thing to figure out as a parent is like when they're making noises, when are they like bad noises versus good noises? And like, you know, sometimes they do make noises as they're like lulling themselves to sleep. That's kind of normal. When it's like it's just like crying, like how much can you tolerate basically? And like, it's very, very hard to figure out. So,
What's impossible to figure out is like, if your kid is having some issue while sleeping, it's humanly impossible to know when to save your child's life. I'm pretty convinced. So I find that whole game to be ridiculous.
Well, this is why
if something happens, it happens. Like, there's something I can do.
That's why the whole like, do you guys have that like Nanit thing?
Is that the ankle thing?
Yeah,
I haven't bought it yet, but
No. So like, what Amy and I've always said, or I've always said, and she's agreed, is like, you know, God forbid something happens, it's gonna happen. You're not gonna be able to do anything about it. So like, all that thing's gonna do is drive you insane. Basically, it's just gonna go off because it does have a lot of false positives. So like, it'll go off, and then like, you're just freaked out, and it's like not a real problem. So, yeah.
Speaking of night safety, have you got that gun yet, Paul? Have you?
I know Trevor's really itching for me to get a gun. I know, like that seems to be his mission for the rest of 2023 is get me to get a gun, for some reason. But no, I've not bought a gun.
You would have thought somebody by now. Did you guys go to like a shooting range? No, you guys haven't done anything. Okay. No, we need some gun action. I don't know. You would have thought somebody in the group by now would have gotten a firearm for one reason or another. But
no, we're all a bunch of wusses. Everyone talks such a big game. No one's buying a gun.
All right. I don't know. People have tried various types of drugs and things. I mean, I feel like a gun is like kind of like the next step in along the line. No,
I don't know, man. There's too many kids shooting themselves with their parents' guns. Like, it's just not, you know, it's not worth it.
Fair enough. Well, I'm glad your neighborhood's safe, and you know, there's no need for more security in the suburbs. You know, you never should left the city area. Much safer environment.
And so we were back for Colette's birthday party like a week or two ago, and we got out of the car. We walk like two blocks. It was like a perfect Hoboken, like, you know, 67 degree day. And you're just like, could we have done it here? And I'm like, I don't know, probably not. But like, you know, with two, it's pretty hard. But like,
with a bigger space, yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, getting a bigger space in our apartment would have been pretty hard. But like, we were like, yeah, it would have been nice. So, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And I appreciate looking out for me, but a $4,500 fanwood apartment.
Was it $4,500? Did she message you or something? Yeah.
No, I clicked the link, and like the link was broken, but I went on the website anyway and looked.
But $4,500 to live in a, what is three? You don't really need
that. That was three bed, two and a half bed. Yeah, so yeah. There's a lot of space, but like, I don't need that kind of space.
No, that's like perfect if you're like a family of like four and you're ready to move out to the suburbs, but you don't want to buy a house yet. Like, that's perfect.
Yeah, maybe. Then we can be in business. Yeah. Let me get through a few more raises first, and then have a little job stability, and maybe I can. Have those kinds of dreams, but yeah, I'm good where I am for now. What else do we have today on the rundown? I know we weren't going that deep. I asked the last, like, the Rutgers tailgate. I feel like we've established a nice tradition now for the boys to come together once a year. I mean, we survived basically a monsoon of hail, so that was impressive, I will say. I would have thought in our older years and like our, you know, our grumpy, you know, our lack of flexibility, you know, considering all it was to plan like the, you know, the boys get together for the 20-year celebration. We did pretty well for the tailgate.
Look, everyone likes a tailgate. Look, there were some wusses who, you know, decided to abandon ship, and those names will be remembered and etched into history. The people that ran into the car during the monsoon storm instead of holding down the fort, literally. But those of us who stayed out, you know, that's a good bonding experience. We literally got pelted with hail as we're holding onto our tents from flying away. Most of the food kind of survive. And, you know, fortunately we didn't start cooking the ribs yet until after that. So we had some fresh food afterwards. Garrett's socks were freshly cooked as well. Props to Garrett for not abandoning the tailgate after getting wet. And yeah, look, it was a great day.
That was shocking.
I think my big takeaway from the game, like, we're so ash-washed, I'll call it. And that's a Chris Ash reference. We're so ash-washed that, like, for the last few years, we've just, like, not really cared about the game. And then, like, this year, I'm like, watching the game, like, oh, this is, like, fun. Like, I wanted to stay in the fourth quarter, and I'm like, I kind of promised I'd leave early. So, like, next year I'm staying for the whole game because now, like, the team's actually kind of fun to watch. So I think I'm back in on college football, and now that Rutgers is watchable, next year I fully
Rutgers isn't trash.
Yeah, now I plan to be fully invested in the games going forward as we go to tailgates.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I feel like a lot of bodies were breaking down in the bleachers there. The seats were a bit of a struggle.
But, yeah, I don't know why it, like, hurt the back so much more than it used to. I don't know what was. I guess I'm used to being by my parents' seats where you could, like, lean back on the railing, but, like, yeah, it was pretty rough.
Yeah, well, so I guess that's why my back's actually been feeling a little better the last few weeks. So I like Levy's doctor. Levy's doctor and I, we could be onto maybe something to build upon, or at least to get me in, like, a more comfortable place.
That's what I'm saying. All right, he gave you his doctor, and I got to give him some, like, fantasy encouragement the first month of the season, you know?
Well, the funny thing is, I mean, I think we still have that deal in place from a long time ago that I'm going to outlive him by, like, 5 years or something. And we never agreed upon the actual ramifications of who wins the bet. But, I was feeling very negative about my ability to outlive Levy by 5 years. But, yeah, I'm starting to feel like I might have a chance now. So I get back in the game.
The cloud of the dark ages is really lifting, huh?
It's the little things, man. It's just, I don't know. It's just, it's not good as new, but it definitely is feeling better than it was. So it makes a big difference in one's day to day. I'll say that much. But yeah, so hopefully that's still a chance in that bet. We don't really have any more bets going besides we got that gun. I guess Andrew could finally shoot Dan, but, you know, there's not much else to be done.
That's okay. It's probably a sign of maturity. It's not so bad.
Yeah, I suppose. What's maturity good for? Raising children, I guess. But
I guess so.
Yeah. All right. I think that's all we had on the rundown. I don't know. I was, like, playing around with my mind. Maybe we'll go back to this gimmick one day. I was actually trying to, like, do, like, kind of like a manager position in the league to, like, fast character comparison. And I was making some progress. Like, you know, I had, like, obviously I was going to be like Dom, you know, who else would be, but, like, you know, I was having, like, oh, like, maybe Trevier could be like Brian. Cause, like, Trevier used to be really alive and, like, died. Dominating the league. And Justin was like Cypher. Cause, you know, just like somebody who again won't die, but who, like, you're like, why are you still here? Why are you successful? Like, you're really just bringing down the enterprise. You know, I had some things going, but I feel like it wasn't the right time. Maybe, like, close to a movie when, like, I really want to get deeper into it to have a better frame of mind to be an active partner in the conversation. I don't want to make you have to carry the whole team, but things for the future.
I'm very impressed with your conversion late in life to the Fast franchise. It's actually pretty shocking. I'm excited by that. Okay. I am probably Tyrese, I bet. That's... Is that, what's his name in the show, in the movie? I'm blanking right now. Brian and...
Yeah, Tyrese.
What's his name in the movie, though?
Oh, I don't know.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M...
Let's see what we got here.
Roman.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, probably Roman.
Was it Tej? Yeah, Roman Tej, yeah.
Does that mean John Tesh? That's actually a good one. John and I are bickering a lot. We kind of wind up in the same positions. And, like, we can each be, like, momentarily important to the crew, but we are firmly side characters.
I was thinking that, like,
I
could see that.
And I'd also say that
I think John could be like Ramsey a little bit, but also an option, but
and I'd say that well, at least in my case, I think as Tej, like, Tej is, like, a, you know, the main, Roman is the main character in Too Fast, so, like, there's the history there. So it turns out, because everyone on my block knows someone we know, our neighbor two doors down We were talking. He's like, I saw we were connected on LinkedIn to Matt Edelman, and I'm like, oh yeah. Like, he's like, how do you know him? I'm like, well, we grew up together. Like, we live two blocks away. He used to play football in my house all the time, and like, I'm in this fantasy basketball league for 20 years. Yeah, I'm like, we're in this fantasy basketball league for 20 years, and he was in it for about 10 of them. So yeah.
How did you know him?
They worked together.
How did it work together? Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your block's a weird entity.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
It's gonna open up a little kibbutz there or something.
Yeah. But not all Jews. That's the funny thing. Like, all these connections are not with, like, it's like not all Jewish people. So it's not like just straight Jewish geography.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's all we got for today, Paul.
I think that's a good look. It's gonna be a good season. I think.
Good teaser. Yeah, we have a good rundown of teams, so you know I'll be sending out some smack talk, you know, in a few days, maybe on Tuesday. I guess this could be a good like midday send off, so people can get a read in. You know, always good for a bathroom break. Bite size previews.
Perfect. All right, Ira. Well, have a good season. Not too good, but looking forward to it.
Yeah, hope to see you in the finals once again.
Let's do it. Bye, everybody.
Yeah, that'll probably be our most basketball-heavy talk of the part of the season. I guess draft is usually how it goes. Yeah, that's right. I was like, where is it? I was trying to close on my phone. And I was like, oh, it's on the computer.